This is Radio Eco Shop with your host, Alex Smith.
From Sharm El Sheikh, Alex talks with Daphne Wysham, longtime host of Earthbeat Radio, now campaigning against the super warming gas methane.
Daphne, you were CEO at methaneaction.org at the COP27 climate summit. Have you heard new science or news about the super global warming gas methane?
Well, yes, we have. You know, at COP26 in Glasgow, methane was the topic on day one. It's kind of been buried here at COP27. There's a much greater focus here on loss and damage and on getting the U.S. and other developed countries to pony up the money for loss and damage for countries like Pakistan that have been, you know, a third of the country was underwater recently due to heavy rains and flooding. But here in Sharm El Sheikh, NGOs and scientists are calling on the delegates to specify binding targets and timelines for cutting methane emissions. And also, we are leading the charge in pushing for the development of methane removal technologies. As your listeners may know, there's very little in the way of transparency around actual methane emissions. In fact, the U.S. and many other countries are misreporting and underestimating their methane emissions by a long shot. So we need accurate measurement, reporting, and verification. And until we have that, we have no way of knowing if countries are actually taking action or just talking a good game. Now, we do have the Global Methane Pledge, and over 140 countries have taken on this pledge, which is a voluntary pledge to cut their methane emissions by 30% below 2020 levels by 2030. But today, we and a number of other NGOs are calling for a mandatory global methane agreement that would set binding targets for cutting methane emissions and lowering atmospheric methane levels. So, you know, we keep hearing that we need to keep 1.5 alive, 1.5 degrees Celsius, the target agreed to in Paris. And we know that a half a degree of the warming that we are, a half a degree of Celsius that we are now experiencing is attributable to methane. So it's a no-brainer that we should be pushing very hard on cutting methane and getting it out of the atmosphere if we want to keep Paris alive. But there's been an awful lot of pushback on even keeping that 1.5C target alive by some of the bigger emitters.
Now, you hosted syndicated radio for years, Daphne, reporting out the environment on Earthbeat. You campaigned for Greenpeace before that. Is there an environment movement showing up at this COP?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not just an environmental movement. It's a climate justice movement. And I've been going to the COP since Kyoto. And I would say that this is the most diverse COP I've been to in terms of the communities that are actually leading the charge within Climate Action Network and other global networks of NGOs. So it's heartening to see their engagement.
In the cross-section of people that you meet at Sharm El Sheikh, how would you characterize the mood on a scale of from we are doomed to it's not so bad, humans can fix this?
I haven't done a poll, but I would say that I feel about 70% hope and 30% despair. You know, I think a lot of people are very concerned that there's an awful lot of brinkmanship going on here, as it always is in the final days of the COP. If we can keep not only 1.5 alive, but move on some of the commitments that were made in Glasgow to get all of the public financing from institutions like the World Bank out of fossil fuels and talk about a phase down in fossil fuels, not a phase out. That's a big distinction that India in particular wants to make, is that we don't need a phase out. We need a phase down because they want to continue consuming fossil fuels until way past 2050. So we do need to keep the pressure on in these last few days, and that's what we're trying to do.
And you mentioned the floods in Pakistan. Have current events added more urgency to the formal science and policy discussions?
It's perplexing that Florida's been underwater, Pakistan's been underwater. We have one scary event after another that's clearly linked to climate change happening all over the world. This COP has as a backdrop the high price of oil and the war between Russia and Ukraine. So a lot of people are concerned about how they can better access gas, for example, in the EU, which is too bad. On the other hand, you're seeing countries like the Ukraine pledging to not only meet but exceed their nationally determined contributions and move away from fossil fuels, which is very heartening.
Well, we're hearing some people saying this COP has failed, but there must be some things that are going on. What is the buzz at the COP27?
Well, I would say it is really about loss and damage and trying to get a facility set up that would channel the money for developing countries that have been hardest hit. So many of these countries are not only being pummeled by climate change, but then they are essentially beholden to some of the big development banks that have conditions on their loans and interest rates that drive them deeper into debt. And we really need to have concessional financing provided for countries that are suffering in some ways, not just from climate change, but from unemployment and from high gas prices and so on. So that's on the table now. And hopefully the reform of the multilateral development banks will be a priority going forward.
Is there anything else you would like to pass on to our listeners?
One of the things that I'm most hopeful about is the work that we are doing at Methane Action. And we have gotten the endorsement of James Hansen, former director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. He's supported our call for not only aggressive reductions in methane emissions, but funding for research and development of methane removal technologies, and also an agreement that would be binding on methane emissions. We have a civil society sign-on statement that has been released to every member of the 1,500-plus Climate Action Network endorsing the work we're doing. It's been endorsed by Oxfam International, Union of Concerned Scientists, Friends Committee on National Legislation, you name it. You know, folks from all over, from Africa, from Latin America have signed on. And I'm hoping that some of your listeners can go to our website and endorse that civil society sign-on statement and reflect on what's possible with the combination of aggressive cuts in methane emissions and methane removal. Our scientists tell us that we can, in fact, reduce warming by 0.6 degrees Celsius by mid-century with these two actions, methane mitigation and methane removal. But we really need to get going on cutting emissions now and getting the R&D funding in place and getting a really strong binding global methane agreement that will allow us to not only meet, but hopefully exceed in ambition the targets set in Paris.
I know a lot of our listeners are worried about methane. So where do they go to get more information about what you're doing?
Yes, it's methaneaction.org. One word, methaneaction.org. You can also follow me on Twitter, Daphne Wysham. We also have a Methane Action Twitter feed, and I try to keep that updated with regular posts every day.
From Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, we've been speaking with longtime environmental activist and radio host Daphne Wysham. Thank you, Daphne.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Covering the world. This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.